Welcome to the Craig and Greg Show, presented by Maximize Leadership. Now, here are Craig Owens and Greg Harris.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the award-winning Craig and Greg Show. I awarded us.
Self-award?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I trust you on that one?
Hey, listen, I have so many people that come up to me and say, you know,
they really like Greg.
I heard that. Yes, oh, I heard what Greg said, and it was so profound, and I could apply it right away. And I go, oh, what did I?
It's a one-man show.
Right. So, so I thought that we would get an award. So,
I like that.
Yes, absolutely. So, but why I say that, because people obviously have listened to some of our stuff and feel like they can put it into application. And I think that one of the reasons, and this is what we're going to talk about today, is this idea of trust. Like, can I trust that person that I'm hearing? And trust is not something that people just give out up front. They just go, oh yeah, I'll trust you. Trust really has to be earned. And the way that you earn the trust is you have to really say, been there, done that. I know what I'm talking about. There's some consistency. There's some things that have shown this. So I want to start you off with a quote from Bennis and Nannis, their great book called Leaders. Trust is the emotional glue that binds followers and leaders together. The accumulation of trust is a measure of the legitimacy of leadership. It cannot be mandated or purchased. It must be earned. Trust is the basic ingredient of all organizations and the lubrication that maintains the organization.
It's a wrap. Let's just close it. That's a great episode already.
Right. Yeah. But let's take this apart first. Let's talk about, I think it is interesting that they said the emotional glue that holds a leader and his teammates together. Why would trust be that? Why would trust be the emotional glue that brings people together?
I think facts are informative, that they don't build trust. I think actions build trust, like they see it.
Sure.
And maybe feel it, you know, where they see he's pretty fair. Like that lady's, she takes her time when there's an issue. I think there's part of trust that is learned. We learn to trust. Mm-hmm. We learn how to trust or give trust. But I love the glue and the lubricant is kind of an interesting adjective, you know, or interesting.
Yeah, they almost sound like they'd be opposites.
Yeah, like glue and lubricant. So you're going to get stuck and it moves.
You know? Right.
But people can get stuck like glue if there's broken trust.
Sure.
Yeah. I think you've had umpteen examples in your life, and I honor you for how you've battled through. And I love the word leading with trust, you know, because you kind of have to prove yourself. And I'm not saying that a CEO or an executive director has to, or a pastor or a teacher has to always earn it, but man, you can lose it quick.
Yes.
And earning it back is longer.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I think I always thought of trust as I'm making some deposits. Like every time that I say that I'm going to do something and I do it, I've built up some credit. And then if there's a time that I say I'm going to do something and I drop the ball, I've got some coins in the bank. I've got some credit there equity, that I can, because then people go, oh, that's very uncharacteristic. That doesn't normally happen. We're going to give the benefit of the doubt here, but I did give up some currency to do that, but it does have to, I think over the long haul, you don't just walk in and just say, all right, here I am. I'm the leader. Everybody trusts what I say is true. People are going to go,
not through my filter.
Yeah, not yet.
Yeah, exactly. Got a little time.
Right.
I think also there's an element of the time. The more interactions,
yes.
The more chance, I don't like the word prove trust, but you're proving that you're trustworthy. The more at-bats give you way more bank account trust.
And, yep.
But people come in with their own trust issues too. You've had that.
Yeah, because they've had that experience before. They know, I've heard this. My previous leaders have said this, but have underperformed or done the exact opposite. And that's going to jade them when they come in, that they're going to kind of cross their arms and they're like, I'm not embracing anything here
skeptical.
Yet. I'm just, you know, and you do have to, I don't want to say wear them down, but you do have to wear down the resistance, I guess, and prove mm-hmm. to them that I'm not that person. In fact, I had to have that conversation once with somebody. I had a couple of young ladies sitting in my office, and they were telling me about how my predecessor had done some things. And I sat there and I listened for a little bit. And then when they got done, I just said, "Hi, my name's Craig Owens.
It's not Billy Bob.
I'm not the other person before." And they're like, "Well, yeah." And I said, "Well, okay, just want to make sure that we know that." And I said, "So he has a different personality than I have. He has a different temperament than I have. He has a different life experience than I have. And so I'm sure what you're describing now is what you felt or the conclusion you came to after a number of years." Mm-hmm. "Can you do the same thing for me? I mean, I realize I've only been here for a month. I wouldn't expect to be all the way up at his level in a month, but are you willing to extend me that time?" And I think just having that conversation was a little bit of, "Oh yeah, we are asking you to become somebody that you're not." And then we were able to work through that.
In that scenario, we'll keep going with that. They also want to test you.
Sure.
Are you going to be like him?
Yep.
Ooh, I think I felt that before.
Yeah.
You know, and I think there's a place where you can reassure them. That might not be how Billy Bob did it, but we're going to do it together this way. This is my transparency, which is a good one that kind of builds trust. Like,
yep.
"Hey, I'm really busy right now. I don't think I can get to it." Oh, well, then there's no expectations. But if you come in a little too shiny and a little too polished, I mean, they're going to put you on a pedestal and love to pull the pedestal out from under if they see one flaw.
Oh, of, sure.
You know, inappropriate, not fully transparent, hiding a few details, inconsistent behavior, kind of like, well, what am I going to get today?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I have kind of, for myself, I wrote down a formula years ago just to remind myself of this, that I viewed trust as being a combination of integrity plus time. Yep. And it has to be over a period of time. It's not just one time I do it. Okay, you know, you should have my mm-hmm. trust now. You should be viewing me as a trustworthy person. But integrity means, and I like this, you know, some, I don't know who said it, that there is no minor lapses of integrity.
Ooh.
So that means that when you say, "We're going to meet at 8 o'clock, you better be there at 8 o'clock. Don't walk in to start the meeting at 8:02. Oh, I'm only 2 minutes late and I ran into traffic. People should understand." No, you said 8 o'clock. When you say, "We're just going to have a quick 5-minute meeting," don't go 6.5 minutes. Mm-hmm. "So I'm going to get that report out to everybody in your email tomorrow. Something came up and I couldn't get to it till the next day." All of those things are showing a lack of integrity, and they're doing the exact opposite of building up trust.
True.
You're putting yourself in a deficit,
yeah.
And you got to go a lot farther than to rebuild that and to earn the trust.
The little minor things we think don't matter to integrity or trust. It takes major things to overcome the minor.
Yes.
If I was late by a couple of minutes, not a big deal. Then you're a no-show one time, or you texted later and said, "Sorry, I couldn't make it. I didn't have a chance." All right. Shall we check with him each time before we have a meeting? Because he's definitely did the minor and the major.
Right.
I think there's one thing about trust that is very hard for humans to get through, whether you're in leadership or following or a part of a team. It's the believability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when you say, "Okay, I'm really sorry." You've done it 3 times, you know, and it could be minor.
Right.
But is it? Because now you add them up.
Right.
And I think for most people, they've had poor experiences and they get a little calloused.
Oh, yeah.
I'll test you out. And then you win them over at some point.
Sure.
But it is time.
Well, and I like what you just said about the texting actually reminded me. That has been a good like eye-opener for me when I've been new in a place mm-hmm. and I'll get a text or I'll get an email, "Hey, we got the meeting tomorrow. Are you going to be there?" And I want to say, "Well, yeah, I said that I was going to be there." But now what I've learned is... You've had a previous leader who said that they're going to be there and haven't. And so then my response to them is a little bit different. I want to extend grace to them and say, hey, thank you so much for reminded me. I actually already had that on my calendar, and I've made sure that I know the route to get there, so I'm not going to have any traffic issues. So, yep, not only will I be there, I'll probably be 10 minutes early. You know, something like that. But so affirming them, I'm not going to slap you on the hand for this or you know, chide you for how dare you think that I'm not going to be there. They're only saying that because of their past experience that's jaded them. So now I know where I can work with that person to try to build trust.
There is probably a phrase that has mostly had my angst when I first started hearing it. It was a person that I worked with, actually a fellow partner. And he would say something with the beginning phrase of, so to be honest with you.
Yeah. Oh, and I don't like that either.
Right? I'm thinking to myself, so you spoke 14 other times. Clearly those weren't true.
Right.
I mean, you start going through. I think that's true.
Yeah.
And you go through the next point he made or whatever, brought up. Maybe that wasn't true.
Yep.
And so now the believability or maybe even confidence in the person as a leader, you're like, I'm calling baloney on that one. You know, it's just crazy what.
Well,
I hate that line.
you know, there's a Bible verse that where Jesus says, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no." I forget which translation of the Bible is that has the phrase like this: "Make your yes mean yes and make your no mean no." And I think anytime that we add those phrases, like as a kid, we'd go, "Cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye," you know, or.
What a phrase.
Or we start adding those. I swear I'm telling you the truth. I promise you, you know, on my mother's grave that this is, when you have to add those kind of phrases, you should be listening to your own words and go, okay, I'm only adding these phrases because clearly in the past I haven't been believable. Right. I haven't been trustworthy. Right. And so now I have to invoke these special phrases. No, just make your yes mean yes.
Yeah.
You're going to be there. If you're going to do it, what you say you're going to do, or if you can't do it, just say yes and mean it, or say no and mean it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to add stuff to it.
I was a similar organization, different person. They would get defensive if someone didn't trust them, like questioned them.
Right.
And instead of reflecting and thinking, have I been integrous? Have I pulled the rug out without knowing? No, they go after the person who's sort of like, it's an insubordinate person.
It couldn't be me.
Yeah, I'm on my pedestal. I spit shine it every weekend. I think doubt does bother someone who doesn't live by trust.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, it's what's the psychological term? I can't remember the term. Where basically, you know that the front that you're putting out, cognitive dissonance.
Dissonance.
When you know that what you're the front that you're putting out there, the words that you're saying, you know that that's not you on the inside. You know that it's not real, and you then are looking around like, are people buying this? Are they going to catch me in my in my little fib here?
Right.
You know, what a terrible way to live. You're not leading as a confident, assured leader doing that, and everybody around you is going to feel that.
Not another side of that coin, but continuing, I think there's some people who are unaware that they're not trustworthy.
Oh, sure.
You know, they just, well, I'm the C-level, blah, 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 or I'm an owner here. Okay, well, you still got to do it.
Right.
I mean, the janitor makes, you know, $14 an hour and he's trustworthy. You make way too much and you're not.
Right.
I'd like to give the janitor more money. I think that defensiveness, so that because you feel like they doubt you, and then they press in, and then you know, okay, we caught him. He's not being truthful, or she's not. But I love the chance where we give them grace.
Yes.
You know, because we aren't perfect. You know, we may have been in a hurry. We may have misplanned. You talked about someone who was running late. You know, it's like, yeah, you didn't plan well. You try to do too much in a window of time before the meeting.
Yep.
So it's on us. But then they come up with traffic. Bro, you didn't even leave the office.
Right.
You just walked downstairs, you know.
Right.
I don't know. I think it's important for us to have a metal rod in the back of saying, I'm going to be consistent. And that's probably one of my favorite things right now. I've been wrestling with inconsistent people, you know, whether it's a customer or a vendor or a family or friend or whatever. It's like, you're just inconsistent. I'd like better.
Right.
that goes to trust.
Yep.
Because when you talked about the equity, that bank account, if they're trustworthy, you really don't question them. If you've learned that they're not trustworthy, it's pushing rope.
Yes.
It's very tough to get your leadership influence and maybe leadership excellence back.
Sure.
Because of you. Yep. Not them, you.
Right. You know. Right. And you know what? I'll actually add, folks, for at this point, you know, as Greg just said, maybe you're not aware that people are perceiving you as not having trust. And this is the value of a coach. Because coaches, we're not in the trenches every day. And so we've got this 10,000 foot overview, and we can spot the things. We can, from a distance, we can see the interaction between you and one of your teammates. And we actually, you know, we can see their face as they walk away from that interaction and go, okay, you may have thought that they just heard this, but here's what they really heard. So make sure that if you'd like to take your leadership to the next level, make sure you go to Maximize Leadership and check out that coaching page. And it really is just kind of a free form down there. Just give us your contact info and say, you know, I'm just looking to get my organization to a healthier place, or maybe I have an inkling that something like this is happening. That's what's really, that form we've, specifically have it just kind of open-ended for you to tell us. And then one of us will look at it and we'll get back to you and say, hey, we can coach you, or here's somebody. You'll see some of the coaches on that website that we might connect you with, or there might be somebody else.
Yeah. I think culture, maybe finish up with that culture. So sure. If it is a trustworthy or trusting culture, not a lot of things can get in the way.
Right.
You know, I know there's things in economics, you know, it's tariffs, or it's, you know, resources you can't get, or competition. I get the old economy. But when you talk about your own culture,
yep.
If there's a trustworthy culture, man, it's a pretty strong army. And let's give me one thing that you've learned through a trustful or trusting culture, how that has really made that a great culture.
Well, I think the biggest thing that I've seen is if it's an untrusting culture and somebody drops the ball, other people just go, they just stand back and just go, yeah, we didn't expect you to follow through on that. So, but if it's a trusting culture and somebody fumbles the ball, other people rally. Hey, that's out of character. That's not normal. Right. Yeah. We're going to step in here and we're going to pick up the pieces for you. Yeah. Now, as the point leader, if you find somebody is starting to consistently fumble a little bit more, then that's where, you know, you're going to pull them aside and say, hey, you know, your teammates are picking up the slack for you, but at some point they're going to begin to resent the fact that they're picking up the slack for you. What's going on? You know, have this conversation. But that's probably one of the big things I've seen in culture, and how I can tell that it's a trusting culture is that either mistakes or people are like, you're on your own, or they're saying, let me step in to help. That's the trusting culture. I trust that wasn't you. That's not the way you normally are.
We didn't expect that. Yeah. That's
right.
Uncharacteristic.
Yes.
I'll throw a word to you about what I love about a trustful culture. There is a fluidity. You know, you come up with something, oh, I'll pitch in. I mean, there's no hesitation. It's not like, no, I wouldn't mind seeing your trip again because you're such a jerk in these meetings and you lie to us all. I mean, this fluidity.
Right.
So speak to that. Like, you've been around some great groups and you've been around groups that didn't have it. So the fluidity, maybe talk about that in a minute.
You can see it as a point leader when you are sharing something with your team. If you see them doing this, just kind of looking off and whatever, they don't trust what you're saying. But when you see them eyes locked on you and they're nodding their head and they're like, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Or you hear those little sounds, yeah.
Like an agreement.
Right. And then afterwards they're coming up to go, hey, I'd like to be on that committee. I'd like to help out with that. That's an indication of the trust that it's going to flow, the things flow there. When you just see a blockage and the only flow is the words coming out of your mouth and they're not going anywhere else, they're just bing, 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 just bouncing off. That's people that don't trust you.
I think that it's not automatic and it's tested, you know, with your group, depending on the size of your organization. If it's really big, it's going to take a while. If it's, you know, it's a 10-man shop, you're going to do pretty good. You can touch everybody.
Sure.
The negative about a untrustworthy or a dishonest culture, I think, is stinginess.
Oh, yeah.
Play with that.
Scarcity versus the abundance. Yeah. Yep. Clearly, trust leads to a lot more abundance because if you don't trust, I'm not sharing anything. I'm keeping it to myself because I don't know if I'm going to get anything back. But when you trust your leader, when you trust the program that's in place, you trust your teammates, mm-hmm. I'm all in. I'll give you everything because I know it's coming back to me. I know I'm going to get something there.
It seems like a trustful culture, the water rises.
Yep.
And a distrusting culture, the rock bed gets dry in the river.
Yep. Let me wrap up with this quote from John Gordon. I believe this is from Energy Bus, where he said this: great leadership begins with telling the truth. If people can't trust you, they won't follow you. So that's what we're here to resource you to do, both in the Craig and Greg shows and so many of the other content that we have coming out. And one piece of content that you need to get if you are in the sales world, Greg's new book, Sales Armageddon, is out now. You can check it out on maximizeleadership.com. Get it on the website there. Hey, on X, if you're on there, get back in touch with us at Maximize Podcast. Maybe give us some feedback on this episode. Share with us some thoughts of maybe upcoming content that you'd like us to dive into a little bit. Want to resource you to become the best leader that you can be, because when you get better, you know what? It helps everybody else. Like we were talking about, some people come into an organization jaded because of a poor leader in a previous organization. So you're going to be doing everybody a favor when you raise the bar of your leadership. You're going to help not only the people in your organization, but fellow leaders as well, as they are feeling the impact of that. So stay in tune or in touch with us. We've got lots more great content that we'll be bringing your way real soon.
Get in touch with Craig and Greg through Twitter at Maximize Podcast or at MaximizeLeadership.com. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes of the Craig and Greg Show.